This is the History Podcast. Now, here's your host, Jason Thomason.
Welcome to the History Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Thomason. Today, we're going back to November 22nd, 1963, to look at the assassination of John F. Kennedy. We will examine the intricate details, the controversies, the conspiracy theories, the enduring mysteries that surround this tragic event. So join me, grab a cup of coffee, and let's go. On a sunny day in Dallas, Texas, President Kennedy embarked on a motorcade journey, hoping to connect with the American people. The crowds were enthusiastic and non-threatening, Secret Service agent Paul Landis remembers. He recounts in his book, "I just remember as we moved closer to the business district, there was this lady among a group of children holding up a sign that read, 'Please stop, Mr. President.'" And he remembers Kennedy's limo stopping and shaking hands with the children and the adults. Secret Service agents immediately jump off the follow-on cars and took up protective positions around the limo until it was time to move again. Landis recalls the lady screaming, "It worked! Our sign worked!" However, what started as a day of excitement quickly turned into unspeakable horror. On November 22, 1963, at approximately 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, the cavalcade reached Daley Plaza, and the cars drove toward the Stemmons Freeway, and that's when shots rang out. Landis wrote, "When we reached Daley Plaza and the cars straightened, the first thing I heard was a sharp report that I immediately recognized as the sound of a high-powered rifle." He continues, "I had been around guns all my life, as a sportsman and Secret Service agent, so I knew the sound of rifles. It wasn't a firecracker." The first bullet struck Kennedy in the neck, causing the president to hunker over and grab at his neck area. This was followed by the fatal shot that forever changed the course of history. Landis wrote in his book that he remembered seeing a flash of white as the right side of Kennedy's head exploded with a pink spray of blood, flesh, and brain matter. He writes, "I automatically ducked, not wanting to be splattered as we drove through it." Pandemonium ensued as the presidential motorcade raced to Parkland Hospital, where doctors fought to save Kennedy's life. Once the motorcade arrived at Parkland, Landis remembers a scene of absolute horror. He saw the inside of the limo, which, according to him, looked like a bomb went off. Blood, human tissue, and bullet fragments were all over the vehicle. Jackie Kennedy, the president's wife, was bent over her husband's head, which was in her lap, and she didn't want anyone separating her from her husband. Eventually, Agent Clint Hill, who covered the head of the president with his coat so that no one would see the devastating carnage, got the president from her lap and into the hands of the doctors at Parkland. Unfortunately, the efforts of the medical staff were in vain, and at 1 o'clock p.m., President John F. Kennedy was officially pronounced dead.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
With the nation in shock, investigations into President Kennedy's assassination swiftly commenced. The primary investigation was known as the Warren Commission, and it aimed to determine whether the tragic event resulted from a lone gunman or if a conspiracy played a role. The Warren Commission, chaired by Chief Justice Earl Warren, meticulously examined evidence, interviewed witnesses, and analyzed every aspect of the assassination. Their final report concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, firing 3 shots from the 6th floor window of the Texas School Book Depository. Oswald, a former Marine and self-proclaimed Marxist, was arrested later that day for the murder of a Dallas police officer, J.D. Tippit. However, before a trial could take place, Oswald himself was shot and killed by a nightclub owner named Jack Ruby. Despite the Warren Commission's findings, the assassination of John F. Kennedy remains shrouded in countless theories and controversies. I probably can't think of another event in American history where there is more controversy and speculation of conspiracy theories than this event right here. So what I want to do in this segment is look at some of the more intriguing ones. The first is the grassy knoll theory. Some of you may have heard of this one. Many believe that additional shots came from the grassy knoll area near the Daley Plaza, suggesting the presence of a second shooter. This theory did gain traction due to witness testimonies and also the acoustic evidence analysis that was done. Another theory is the mafia conspiracy. There are some who allege that the mafia orchestrated the assassination as a result of Kennedy's crackdown on organized crime. However, concrete evidence linking the mafia to murder has been quite elusive. And here's my problem with this theory. People who support the mafia theory say that Jack Ruby was sent in by the mob to shut up Oswald, to keep him from talking. So Ruby goes in and shoots Oswald. Ruby goes to prison and dies in prison of natural causes. So if the mafia sent in Ruby to kill Oswald to shut him up, then who are you going to send in to shut Ruby up? And then who are you going to send in to kill that guy to shut him up? It just seems like that theory has a lot of holes in it. A third theory is that the CIA was behind it. This is another one of these more popular theories that suggests that the CIA played a role in Kennedy's assassination due to his decisions regarding Cuba and Vietnam. But yet again, no conclusive proof of CIA involvement has ever been presented. A fourth conspiracy theory is that the government tried to cover up who actually did it. Skeptics have argued, who support this theory, that the Warren Commission was part of a government cover-up tasked with portraying Oswald as the sole assassin while ignoring other potential leads. This notion, still to this day, fuels a lot of public mistrust toward the government. While theories abound, understanding the potential motives behind Kennedy's assassination may shed some light on the events of November 22, 1963. One potential motive is political discontent. President Kennedy's political decisions, including the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion and his stance on the Cuban Missile Crisis, earned him both supporters and also enemies. Political discontent and opposition to his policies could have fueled the desire to assassinate him. Another potential motive is the Cold War context. The Cold War dominated global affairs at the time, and Kennedy's push for containment, like his predecessors, and his commitment to civil rights may have made him a target for those with conflicting ideologies. A third and final potential motive that we'll look at today, and there are others, but these are the three that I think are easiest to discuss in a podcast setting, is a personal vendetta. Individuals harboring personal vendettas against Kennedy, such as Oswald's alleged grievances, could explain their desire to harm him. More than five decades later, the assassination of John F. Kennedy continues to captivate the public's imagination. Despite exhaustive investigations and numerous theories, questions still remain unanswered. And you can't help but being intrigued by these different theories. Anytime a documentary on Kennedy comes out, you can't help but want to watch it. What was Oswald's precise motive? We'll never know. Did he act alone, or was there a conspiracy? Were there any misused leads? Were there any missed leads? While we may never know the answers definitively to any of these questions, the legacy of John F. Kennedy endures. His vision for a better America, his charisma, and his sudden and tragic demise continue to influence the nation's collective memory. As we conclude today's episode on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, we hope that this exploration has deepened your understanding of this really crucial moment in American history. Join us next week for our last episode on season 5, as we continue to look at how the Secret Service evolved through the years, looking at the assassination attempts on the president's life. Until then, remember to stay curious, to keep seeking knowledge, questioning assumptions, and never letting the truth slip away. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening to the History Podcast. If you like the episode, make sure to share it with somebody so that we can help grow the podcast. Also, I would like to ask you to subscribe to our podcast so that you get notifications on when new episodes are released. I'd also like to encourage you to check out our new YouTube channel, At The History Podcast Show, all one word, At The History Podcast Show. We got a lot of resources there that are helpful, and we hope that you enjoy taking a look at those things. And lastly, I want to ask you to remember, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just simply find it along the way. Like an improv conversation.